We're on page Ayin Zayin. The Rebbe is talking to us about how to learn. About how to learn Agadata, how to learn the Svar Makadosh in order to be machazik, to strengthen and to uplift our machshavas, our way of thinking, and how to use the koyach of siur, of description and imagination. He's talking about that, expounding upon that machshava of the Noam Elimelech, that by davening to place oneself in Eretz Yisrael and in the Beis HaMikdash, and in order to do that in a way that could be most effective, that the person's vision of the Beis HaMikdash is very, very detailed. So we're in that paragraph on the bottom of page Ayin Zayin, like the seventh line, which says, "Upam achas b'shana nichnas akayin gam b'kodesh kadoshim," to think of all of these things. This is what we were talking about last week. To imagine, "Upam achas b'shana nichnas akayin gam b'kodesh kadoshim." V'sham ay yoyse ro'as alakei yisro. Whatever that means. To be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, again, to use that thought only rarely, but to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Kohen Gadol. Chazal tell us that the Kohen Gadol would have these visions. There were times that the Gemara says that he would see Zaken Malei Rachamim Lobush Levonim. He would see visions of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Simta Pam Yotzer V'Sipar Isis Ka Hashem Tzavokas Yerushev Akisa Ramban Yisav Amali Shavarchenu. When Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol came into the Kodesh Kadoshim Yom Kippur, and he saw a vision of Hashem sitting on a throne, and Hashem is asking him for a bracha. These Gemaras, these Chazals, obviously, if a person is not familiar with these Chazals, and if a person doesn't learn the sugya of Beis HaMikdash and doesn't familiarize himself with the appearance of the Beis HaMikdash and the different places in the Beis HaMikdash, then this is very hard. If it's just Beis HaMikdash, it's like a big building, and to him, you know, it just looks a little, you know, something, an older version of the Empire State Building or whatever else, built, you know, fancy building, a big building he's been in, like, in his life. So then it's hard to be inspired. But if a person, but everybody should try to learn the sugi of the Beis HaMikdash to some, it's hard to learn all the prote protem and all the dimensions, but certainly to familiarize oneself with the Beis HaMikdash, so that a person should be able to really maximize the use of this Eitzah of the Noam Elimelech, which is really from the Rishayim, to envision oneself in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol gave Hashem kivyochel a bracha, and that Hashem nodded his head, the bracha that he should act towards his children in a way of in the midas harachmim and so on. The Gemara, k'nichshal ish ba'aver chas shalom halach ha-beis hamikdash neskapulon. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if a person was nichshal and he did an aveira, he would go to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wouldn't leave the Beis HaMikdash. He wouldn't leave until there was a certainty of Kapar. Where we don't feel now, we're always afraid. We don't know whether our tshuva is accepted and whether or not we're miskaprim. Well, of course we are. But a person in Beis HaMikdash, he knew, he would go and he'd be miskapaloi. V'gam al sofik chayt. He had karbonus oshem hikri. If he'd been a karbon oshem on a sofik of a chayt. And there were other kabbanas, the tmidim and so on. All of these kabbanas were brought, and together with offering these kabbanas came the certainty of kapara and ritzui, that there was that certainty of knowing that you are on Hashem's good side, and the things were worked out between you, how the Beis HaMikdash was and what the ritzui and the kapara of the karbanis and so on. V'alayla ad shalei lon adam v'aver biyadai. Gemara says that in Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim, you didn't go to sleep holding on to your aveiros. That you were able to achieve this kapara, this ritzui in the Beis HaMikdash. So the person didn't go to sleep being weighed down with his aveiros. So that's the Ma'amar Melech's Eitzah, that a person should see himself in his davening in this place. In other words, with this hergish, when a person is davening with this hergish of being in the Beis HaMikdash and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and connecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way of the Beis HaMikdash, and as if feeling yourself during davening, as if you've just brought the carbon tomato, you just brought a carbon arshan, and if a person done something wrong or is maharba or whatever it might be, to know the different carbonas, he's made a mistake and he imagines what a chattis is like, and he tries to envision himself in the Beis HaMikdash after that kapara and after the carbon was brought, and that hergish that a person had in the Beis HaMikdash to try to think of these things and to imagine these things while davening. And you thank Hashem, and you speak to Hashem with that elated hergish of being in the Beis HaMikdash and having brought karbonis. Kama yivra libcha, how the heart will become inflamed from such a thought. And this is an example, of course, it's a very, very strong and powerful example. But a person uses different things. He's just giving some examples. Kama yiva libcha uslahit nafshecha b'svilos v'shiros al Hashem. How the heart will come inflamed, and the nefesh will become so filled with the excitement of this tefillah and this shirat Hashem. Gam b'shoah apnu yilcha tzayelcha kizayis. And if it's hard for you to focus on that during davening, so you can do that a different time when it's not during davening. To imagine yourself davening in Beis HaMikdash. As you exercise in this way and you practice this in your mind during times where you're able to have the luxury of concentrating and to have more time. Because if you do this, if you do this in a regular place when you're davening in shul, so by the time you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, it's already tachnun in shul. All right, so it's very hard. That's part of our matzav and goals and so on. But it's very, very hard to have that presence of mind. But if you work on this during quiet moments, during different times, let's say we're saying some tehillim, and there's nobody standing over, and you don't have to catch a train, and you don't have a schedule, and you have some quiet time, and you work on these things to create that image in your mind. So then you become used to that, and when you get to shul, it's an exciting feeling. You go and you hide under your talus if you're married, or a sradi or a yakir, even if you're not married, and you hide under your talus. And you go into that place, and you could go there, you could access it very, very quickly. You could get there very quickly because you have accustomed your mind to placing yourself in Beis HaMikdash, so a person can get there very quickly. So it'll be easier to be ma'ira oneself. Maybe that has to do with the parashah's interesting thing. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about this, but maybe it's something to do with by Kriyas Yamsuf, by the Shira. So Tiviyemu v'sitayimu b'anachalascha mochel shituch apalta Hashem mikdash Hashem kanan liyadecha and zakeli banveyu. All of those psukim are talking about the Beis HaMikdash, right? In the middle of the Shira of the Yam, we're talking about Beis HaMikdash. It's a funny time to think about the Beis HaMikdash. It's a funny time to sing about the Beis HaMikdash. You're crossing through the ocean. So there's this Ruach HaKodesh, there's this Iris of Tiviyeh Mesutim Bahanat Mochon L'Shivtuch HaPa'alta Hashem Mikdash Hashem Konin Yedech. And Zek Keli Vanveyu, according to Chazal, was a machshava also. Was a thought of the future Beis HaMikdash in all of its glory and all of its splendor. So why is that... Why is that in the middle of the ocean? Such a machshava. So maybe it's connected to what the Rebbe is saying here. Is the Hisraimim was of the Shira being lifted up to that high place of the Shira, of the song, and in order to be able to experience the Hislavas of the Shira of Oz Yashir, and the Hitgalus Ashchina that they experienced, the Shechina that was pouring onto their lives at that time, so they were able to envision that place of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, that machshava of the Beis HaMikdash is the most inspiring machshava that we could have, that a Jew could have, because that's the ultimate tachlis, is the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, is being the Beis HaMikdash. That's the ultimate tachlis, is to be able to walk into the Beis HaMikdash and to be in Eved Hashem, and to be Dovek Hashem. So davke at the time of the Shira Sayyam, so in the middle of the Shira, they're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Mochan l'shivtucha pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem karani yadacha. Because of the connection, like the Rebbe is saying over here, kama yiva libcho slide nafshcha b'sfilosof v'shirasa l'Hashem, during that time of song to Hashem, and how inspiring it is to be in the Beis HaMikdash, to bring out the shira from within a person, to bring out that song, to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe that's the hisayrus that they were having in the Ruach HaKodesh, and that hisayrus of Mikdash Hashem kanin liyadecho, while they were crossing through the Yam. And he gives other examples. V'loyrak es ha-dvarim sheyesh l'tzaya oysam v'tziya shal mara v'dimyon tachshev. So let me just go back to that for a second. I mean, I have to let go of that machshava. That, you know, there was his Osiris different times in history. At the time of Rabbi Kiveger, Zecher Tzadik Kosovach, at the time of Rabbi Kiveger, the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael made an offer to sell the Har HaBayis to the Jews. There was an offer to make a sale. I guess they were tied on cash. And there was an offer for a sale. Some sort of a deal. I don't remember the exact conditions, but that they'd be able to bring korbanis. Maybe to bring makriv and afpishen bayis bonu. The Rambam pasnas lahalacha. Not every kind of korban, but so that's when they began the whole pullness between the tzaddikim at the time of Rabbi Kiveger, whether they were allowed to do such a thing. And there were swarm, that were written at the time. There were those in favor and those that were opposed. And there were questions. If we don't have tchelis, how could you have big day kahuna? And what's the exact location of the Mizbeach v'chul? It's very famous, all of these discussions in the poskim and achrenim, what was going on. But there were tzaddikim at that time who said that the ikus chosam nasefer, which meant that a hergish of the hisgalus hashchina, when Klal Yisrael doesn't feel worthy of the Shechina's presence, there wasn't a feeling of worthiness. I don't know how that's going to be, Mitzvah Hashem. I guess Mashiach is going to have to give us a lot of encouragement, a lot of ischaskas. But the tzaddikim at that time was said that we're not worthy of the Hizgal Sashchim. We don't have that hergish of being worthy. And in our feeling of being unworthy, in that state of not having the confidence that we're worthy of Hashem Shechina, so how is it possible to the feeling of, you know, how could we possibly bring korbanos? How could we possibly build a Beis HaMikdash without that hergish of Yisraelus that the Shechina is waiting to reach out to us and she's waiting to descend upon us? You know, when there's more feeling of like, now how could that can't be now? We can't do that stuff now. That's the only things that we read about, you know, but we can't do that now. So one of the tzaddikim said that it could be that the whole machlokes in halacha was the chitzonius of the issue, and the pnimius was a general sense of unworthiness that Klal Yisrael has in galus, that we can't pick ourselves up to feel that the Rebbe would want to, that he would want to send, to give us the Shechina in such a way. So a person has to have, Klal Yisrael has to have that confidence and that hergish, and that rotzen of Tiviyim of his time about Hanachalos and Machal Shidduch of Palta Hashem and Vesecha Zenei Nein B'Shuv Chalitzin Barachamin. It's a person that we have to have such a heritage. And then he says, "V'leirak is a devarim sheish l'tayrus and betzirus amar v'dimyan tachshav tarchiv v'sitzai." Not only those things that you could see, not only something that you know how to paint in such a detailed way, like the Beis Hamikdash. V'agam kol machshava tayve begadlus Hashem kedushasam. Any positive thought regarding the greatness of Hashem and His kedusha. V'chol derech toiv lavadosi yisbarach tar b'lachshav l'harchiv. And anything that's good. Anything that's good in Avodas Hashem, don't just think of it for a second, don't let it pass, but tarba lachshav laharchiv, always to go into that thought and to take hold of it and to go into it on a deeper level and to expand it. The Moshul, the Sefer Kodesh al Kvay Kedushas Adoni Avi Moiri, he says, in this farm of my father, he says, it says sometimes, Sheyachshav ha'ish b'daitai, that a person should have a thought like this. Haloi gam ha'behema v'achaya yirei l'nafsha. Even an animal, a beast, fears for its life. Mikol dover sheyochel ha'gila nezeg mefachedes barachas. And anything that when the animal feels that there's something that could harm it, then the animal is afraid and runs away. Vechze l'yir ha'ish min ha'kol yachal asher b'yaday nefesh kol chai v'ruach kol b'sa'ish. So his father said, even a behemoth, to think of this, even a behemoth is afraid. When there's something that the behemoth senses is dangerous, it's afraid and runs away. So how's it possible that a person isn't afraid when it comes to an aveir? How are you not afraid from the Baruch Shalom? The Baruch Shalom is in the Baruch Shalom's hands is all life. Ruach kol b'sarish. Shiochel ha'anishay chasashom. But God forbid, a person can be punished. Adkan l'shan ha'kodesh. Dvarm halolu. So again, when a person just thinks, when he sees the words, he sees, you know, and he sees Yiras Shemayim v'Yiras Chayt. So we just say those words. We said the words Yiras Shemayim v'Yiras Chayt. Yeah, that's it. He said the words Yiras Shemayim v'Yiras Chayt. But his father, what the Rebbe, the Grudzisker was saying, was that what the Rebbe is saying is that when from time to time, don't just say the words Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Chayt. What does it mean to be afraid of a Chayt? So you see that the tzaddikim, we get an insight into how they davened and how they thought. They would use these mashalim and machshavas, yiras chayt, to think of how an animal is, of how an animal instinctively runs away from something that's scary, that frightens it, and how an animal has that instinct to defend itself and to protect its life and so on. And that a person has to think, what does it mean to be afraid of doing an aveir, and that the Baruch Shalom is b'yad nefesh kol chai. These kind of thoughts, these are just examples of how a person begins to use his mind and imagination to be mechazik and to be marchiv the machshavas. Dvarim halolu kvar dayim lachshav behem kol yimei chai ha'ish ulasar behem b'yad shamayim. This type of a thought, if you use this way of thinking from his father, this itself is something that can be for the person's entire life to bring for his iris of Yiras Shamayim. V'aytucha laharchiv machshava kedai shezu. There was a mice I just saw. It wasn't a long time ago that it happened in Bnei Brak years ago that the people were walking on the street in Bnei Brak, and the stipler was walking someplace, and the stipler tripped, and he fell on the ground, and he started screaming, yelling, and everybody, of course, ran over there. It wasn't when he was so old; it was a long time ago. Everybody started running over there, Rebbe, and they grabbed him and helped him. He was already standing, getting up. He was ready. The stipler was very strong. Very strong when he was young. Very, very strong. And it was a davia dua. He was mamish, a powerful person. So when he fell down, they heard him screaming and yelling, and then he jumped up. So they didn't know. People went over there, and they grieved Rebbe. What happened? Are you hurt? He says, no, I'm fine. But you're screaming, Rebbe. What happened? Because he looked like he was okay. He tripped, but he was a healthy man, and he got up. He says, no, I was screaming because of the Isser in Eretz Yisrael and Evan Maskus, you know, to go on the floor, on the ground, without going into that Isser, without any separation between the person and the floor, but to go flat on the earth in Eretz Yisrael because of the Kedushas Aris, whatever it was a religious cheshbon. Without going into what does it mean, it's not the Samikdish, is it then outside the Samikdish, that he had such a sensitivity that he was careful that there shouldn't be any Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, because he was flat, and he fell down flat, and he was afraid of Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim on the stones of the street of Eretz Yisrael. So what was he screaming about? He wasn't hurt, but he was screaming from such a possibility that maybe there was something that was going on that wasn't 100% Kedin. And from that he was screaming that they thought that God's forbid, they didn't know what happened to him. That how, you know, that Yerushalayim was something that was so real, so much a part of their lives, you know, not to be nichshel in anything, and how careful they were, and they lived every single second. I wouldn't even think while he's falling down, you're in the middle of a free fall, you're gonna crack your head on the sidewalk. So the cheshbon is a cheshbon. Oh no, there could be a potential of error going on over here. It's something which is a. It's a wondrous thing how the tzaddikim can think that way. But that's, they live every moment in with that cheshbon of their relationship with Hashem. So he says, "Va'ituch alaharchiv machshava k'doyish hazu im kvar hayisa chas v'shalom pam betzora hayisa zulosu betzora chmal aslan." If you were ever, God forbid, in a tzara, or you saw somebody in a tzara, sayelachas adai geshalas, try to imagine yourself being in a tight spot, in a dangerous situation, and how you felt, or how you, if you were once in a tzara, how you felt during that tzara, the unbelievable fear that you felt. Like Rabbi Nachman said, that when a person is davening, you should imagine yourself hanging by a thin rope over a raging sea. And if he lets go, he's gonna fall into this ocean. He said that's how a person when he's davening should see himself in the Rebbeinu Shlom's hands. And you know, these kind of machshavas, that a person was an ace tzara. Person is, God forbid, in an accident. Hashem was afraid of something, and he's an ace tzara. He doesn't know what's going to be or how he felt when there was a test, and he didn't know if God forbid something was seriously wrong with him. All of these things, and the worry that a person felt at that time, or if you had a loved one that you know that you were worried about and was in such a matzav of an ace tzara. Tzayel lachas adayge shalas. V'kam ha'yisa makabel atzmacha ato. Az losu b'shulot seisman. And remember, when you were in that tzara, what were you prepared to do? What were you prepared to give up? What were you prepared to do in order to be saved from that tzara? I once mentioned to you that, I remember it was on a Tu B'Shvat. It must have been around 14 years ago, something like that. No, maybe a little bit less. There was a Tu B'Shvat that I was speaking in Detroit. If you're going to speak in Detroit, try to take a warmer time of the year. So it was so cold. And I had my car in the airport, because I was able to work it out to go back and forth, but I didn't have to stay overnight. So I got out a late flight from Detroit, and I was in LaGuardia. I left the car there, and I was coming back, and I was going on the Grand Central. There's this place after the airport, you go, there's like, you know, a thing like an overpass or something. You go under this thing, and I wasn't going fast, but there was apparently there was ice like all over, and I lost control of the car. I lost control of the car, and it was like a dreidel. Well, I'm sure, you know, everybody is a gzera, I think, one time in life, halavai should be in life, that a person has such an inyan. So the cost us, and I remember this thought, like as I felt it slipping away the car, because I didn't see there was upi teva, there were cars, you know, blowing around. I thought that was it. So I remember that I had this machshava, like first, my first thought was, oh, my parents are going to be so upset. This is going to be bad for my parents. I know that machshava, and I went from there to my wife and children and so on. And I had this machshava, like, if this works out, like if somehow I just stop spinning and I'm okay, boy, am I going to be a big tzaddik. I'm going to be such a tzaddik. I'm going to make Hashem so proud of me. Okay. And then the car did like spins, and I saw lights and other cars. I didn't know what was going on. And then it just went, it just touched like the wall of that thing over there. It didn't even make a dent in the car, just a little scratch. And then I didn't know what was going to happen there, because I was sitting right on the highway. And the cars were able to, it was amazing cars, and people got out, they were nice, and how you doing, whatever. And the car was all backwards on the highway. And I got in the car, you know. There was a big guy there, you know. And he was such a nice guy, and he was like calming me down. You're right, you're okay, you know. He'll help me. He was like, I'll go with you, I'll follow you in the car. I was like, you know, a nice guy. And he said, no, I'm okay, I'm okay. I remember getting in the car, and I was so shaken up by that, and I was so grateful. And the whole way back to Farakwe, I was. Like, you know, Mom is singing Shir at Hashem's Baruch and Shalach Vahidoy, and I came home and I told my wife about the mice, and I said, she has Sirachus, and then I had for the next 2-3 weeks, the brachas were like, oh, every burn of fascist, every Ashiyah. You know, I was a tzaddik for like 2 weeks. Not even. Not like 10 days, really. And I was only... No, it wasn't Ben Alma Chavero either. And even Ben Alma Makam wasn't with such gewaltig chumas, but it was a lot better than I had been before. It was a lot better than before. Because I still felt the reverberations and the pachad of that moment and the kabbalah of that moment. I felt it very strong. And as it wore off and you began to think, yeah, a lot of times the car, these things happen, you know, and then... And you always just saying that you're grateful to Hashem, but you don't have the hergish of escaping from death. You don't have that hergish, that chush. To be able to look, Hashem doesn't want us to be afraid and to put ourselves back into these scary things. But in terms of your Shemayim and being ma'ayra, a hergish of Yerim, since it's very, very, very hard for us, such a hergish. That the Rebbe is saying that sometimes when a person goes back in his thoughts and tries to relive that scary moment and how he felt about what would he do if only he would be able to get out of that moment, to remember how frightened he was. So my father over the years, and he tells me different things during the war, when they had to go get out and escape and go here and go there. And even though he said these things to me so many times, he's described them, but the way that he tells them, I remember as a little kid, and the way that he says it over each time, it's like, there's like my father sitting again from that mysev when, you know, and during the war, when they were running from place to place, every second they didn't know, like, so some people said go to the right, and then others said go to the left, and my father said this was like 50 times a day when they were 50 times a day, like there was a machloikis, you know. This one said, no, we heard that they're here. No, we heard that they're there. And no, over here there's a safe place, because over here there's some Jews that we can go to them. And nobody, it was all atzat ha-safek. There was nothing certain. Everything was like, you know, maybe and this. And the pachad, my father always said, the pachad, like every step, you know, you didn't know, you mean the small. And should we stay here? Should we hide here? So we heard that the ones that were hiding here, that there was bid for them before, and that we have to run. Should we, you know, all these hachlatis, and what did, every second there were different hachlatis that you had to make. And the pachad, you know, the pachad of the hachlata, that every single decision, every time during the day, every decision was life or death. It wasn't whether you're going to make money or lose money. It wasn't whether, you know, we're not talking about the LIE or the Belt Parkway, you know, which is better, where you'd be more much so you try, you know, you try this bridge or that bridge. Every single second was life or death. Every second. And the pachad. And when if you'd ask my father, what was it that he was most frightening? So what was it that was most difficult? So my father would say that the hunger was, and the indecision. The indecision. So that pachad of every single moment feeling that you're a chuta ha-sa'ara from death, and not knowing when, you know, which way and what and here and how to go, and whether you're going to get caught and so on, and the different things that were going on in the camp, that you'll get caught and what to do and how to do it, and that fear that was constantly hovering over the Yidden during that time was something that, you know, the people that went through it, they can never ever forget that. They can't forget that. A person, we thank God, never had these kind of experiences. We don't even know what that means. But an occasional taste of a pacha that a person can taste, or even to put oneself in that matzah with imagination. All of us have read many books about the Holocaust, and we have in our minds different pictures and different images from what we've read. And after you read a book, or you've read books, or you remember books, to try to picture that. My wife just was showing me in a newspaper. There are memoirs that are being written by actually someone that my father knew very well. It's my father's hometown, and he's writing this. He's writing some memoirs. It's in the process. So my wife showed me part of it, of what was going on. What was going on at that time with the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Zichron, what they did in Budapest by the Danube River, and they threw the whole night, they threw thousands and thousands of babies. They took little children, babies and children, off trucks and threw them into the Danube, just threw them into the river. And he describes that there were parents and other adults that were standing there, and the Nazis were just taking these kids off the trucks. And the kids were watching them throw everybody into the river, and the screaming of the parents and the screaming of the children, mama and tata, and screaming, and then the Germans would start shooting in the water. Some just drowned, some are bleeding to death, and all of that. These are tsiurim. These are images that a person, you know, so you can't forget such images. And what that means, and even if it comes to using such tsiurim in a person's mind, to be able to mechazik oneself to help another Jewish child that you can help, right? To help your own child, to help someone else's kid, and you mitzayir in your mind how helpless the Jews felt standing over there by the river and watching Jewish children being thrown in, and how helpless they felt, and that feeling of helplessness, but then suddenly to find out that you can do something. And you could rescue a child. All of these are machshavas that, even though they sound, of course, morbid, but there's a use for thoughts like these as well. So he says, of course, a person has to be very careful that it should be with a shia that's not excessive. So he says, V'lom alay sefache gamat me Hashem. But a person can remember that he was in an ace tzara. So first of all, the gratitude of being able to go out of that tzara and feeling the joy and thankfulness to Hashem, but also understanding and realizing that in every second of life you could be back chas v'shalom in an ace tzara. And why aren't we afraid of that? Why aren't we afraid that there could be an ace tzara, a personal ace tzara, that could befall a person, chas v'shalom? We hear every day of different things that happen to individuals. Again, this is something that a person shouldn't stay focused on, but it's a very sobering way of thinking that is mechazik a person's yir shemayim. Kama Malayim Svarenu Akadoshim Binyani Machshavas Kadoshis Kagain Eila. We have so many examples of these Machshavas in the Svarim Akadoshim. Asher Kol Serek Mehem Le'ilon Rav Yisgadol Yispashet How every little sapling can become a great tree. I guess, you know, we were reading this out to Tu B'Shvat. Every little sapling of a thought can become an Ilan Rav. And each and every bocha, and each and every one of us can grow into such a great person. Yisgalav yispashet. Imrak tetapel behem. If you only tend to these thoughts and to these feelings, and these thoughts then can then fill all of your tzinus and all of your machshavas, your thoughts and your feelings will become filled and will become holy. There are great advantages that come from living in this way of machshava. Like we see from the words of the Tefillah of the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Shalom, help our thoughts to become pure and clear, pure, refined and clear and pure and strong. You become a person who is a Baal Machshava V'Dinyan Shekedusha, that is able to have thoughts and Dimyonis of Kedusha. V'loy Machshava B'Lvad, Rak Gam L'Ish Misragish. And not only, there's not something that's intellectual, obviously, we're talking about Machshavas that make you into an Ish Misragish, that you become a person that's a Baal Regish, the person whose emotions are awakened, are aroused. You become an ish, more and more of an ish misragesh. In other words, the Rebbe is explaining throughout this time that the hisragshus of a person depends upon his ability to be mamik in mechazik his machshavas, using all kinds of tziurim in his machshavas. That is something which is ma'oir, a tremendous hergish, either a hergish of joy or a hergish of fear, but he becomes a balragish. And he becomes an ish misragish. Shaman la paragimel, she kol kach nechutz lanu ato nasi. He becomes such a person. Kilei machshavas b'levadat achayshe b'zeh. Because this is not only a matter of thinking, of just having thoughts. Rak machshavas amleis rikshe kaidish. You become a person whose thoughts are filled with rikshe kaidish, holy emotions, holy feelings, ahava, love. Right, the Rebbe gives examples of that also. Using with one's machshavas a feeling of ahava for bas of adam, ahava for family, ahava for a child, like the Abdur Rav and other tzaddikim would say, that a person to be ma'ir one's, if a person wants to be ma'ir one's ahavas Hashem. So then we'll learn this in the Shem and the Chabur, and soon will be by the Mitzvah Say of ahavas Hashem, and we'll learn about this in you, that when a person's trying to know what this had to feel, a hergish of ahavas Hashem. So we build that up by trying to enter into a hergish of ahava for one's parents, for a wife, for one's children, for a friend, to be ma'ira, a hergish of ahava. And through that ahava of a friend, of a family, through that ahava, then to be able to be ma'ira ahava Hashem, a hergish of ahava Hashem. But just to say the words ahava Hashem, or to say Ahava Rabba, Ahavas Olam, Ahavtonu, without using Machshavas and Siurim in that place of Ahava, it's very hard to feel any Rikshe Kodesh. Yira Utshuka L'Hashem, Hama'iras Ayischolahen, Umatza Bezalanapshach Osisa. You have created a basis for your soul. Shesesrak Shiyaseha Ashetaitzi Matzmusa Aleha Tezgalah. You've created a means of revealing the structures of your nefesh. And when you begin to do this, then you're touching upon, or you've reached the heels or the beginnings of chassidus. This is the beginning of chassidus. Lehei osas bal nefesh kanal, to become a bal nefesh, a person who's a balabas over his emotions, a bal nefesh, and is a bal hergish. V'yesh laharich es ha-to'elos ha-pshuta b'zeh. And he says, even without this, even without that you became, that you're touching upon the beginnings of Chassidus and you became a Baal Nefesh, there's an obvious toilous advantage of all of this. You begin to become a person that controls your thoughts, that you're a person that's concerned with what you think about, and that your thoughts are part of your life, as opposed to your mind just being hefked, that your brain is like open to whatever happens to pop in at that moment. Because that's how it is here. You just live here, whatever, you machshava, this machshava, that machshava. But we're never ever l'chadchila taking hold of our machshavas to think about things that are holy. So the mail of the machshava is like just open and wild, and all the machshavas, any machshava could fly in. Anything can come to a person's head. It's hefka. The chalzumas machshavas to any filth of the machshavas of the world. And there are so many things to refer to in the Zuhum Asylum and the Machshavas of Zuhuma, because everybody that grew up here in America saw so many things that are disgusting and ugly and horrible. And you just walk on the street, and if you look up, and half the faces that you see are like that. Just the maris that you see in the street are like that. One of the chavim was telling me yesterday that he spent a week in New Square. And he was saying, it was the most unbelievable thing. He just was able to spend a week in the square. And he said that the most amazing thing was that you walk around the streets of the square, and all you see are Heilige Yiddish. You just see Heilige Yiddish Kindler, beautiful Jewish faces. There's not one billboard, you know. There's not one. There's everything is just beautiful. The eyes, it's so pleasing to the eyes. It's so pleasing to us. You know that feeling when you're driving, sometimes you might have to go through difficult neighborhoods. If you're taking side streets, you couldn't be on the highway, you know? And you go through some real difficult places and maybe even a little bit lost in some rough neighborhood, and you're not quite sure, and then you just like get to that first block in Williamsburg. You know what I'm talking about? And you see that first Yid walking around. And you go, you have that, you know, you have a good feeling. Like, Baruch Hashem. Maybe it's not, my neighbor doesn't look that way. Maybe I wouldn't want to look that way, but I'm happy I'm in that neighborhood, right? I'm happy I'm back with mine. I'm back with my own element. To be able that the eyes should see just tzuras of Kedusha. That's the children that are growing up in a place like Nuskwa, that's all their eyes see. They don't see tzuras of ugliness, of filth. So but for them it's a lot easier. But for those who are schlepping around in all the different places, stam, the mind is hefket. If a person is not a bal machshava, so then all when then he just he automatically refers to things. That's the way the mind works. You refer to things that are easy to, you know, you don't have to work hard to think of any of these other machshavas. You see something, you think of it, and it reminds you of something else that you shouldn't think of, and so on. Because it's mufkar, it's hefket, the kolzumas machshavei sa'ilam. The kevan, shevit seinenu bezeh lechanchacha, Bez Hashem, Shavemus Kain Ta'asa. Since my tachlis here, my Ratzon, the Rebbe says, is to be mechanach you, that to do this, to live this way, and to show you ways that you can become accustomed to being a bal nefesh, a bal machshava. And without it being something which is too hard for you, it's not too hard for you. It's not going to be something you can't do. Everybody can do this. And you're going to see that your Yetzirah is not going to stop you from working on this, or from being able to accomplish this. Because I'm going to give you easy and pleasant machshavas to think of. Machshavas that you'll be able to use easily. Machshavas shekol ish b'tivei oyev lachshavas. And I'm going to give you thoughts that everybody naturally, thoughts that are naturally wonderful to think about and pleasant to think about. Therefore, I'm going to therefore give you more examples and more ways of doing this. And we'll hope to Hashem, when you become used to them, then you won't have to force yourselves to try to think about these kind of things. You'll enjoy so much, and it'll be so easy for you to be in those machshavos, and you'll enjoy them so much, it'll be hard to part from those machshavos. It'll be hard to walk away from those machshavos. I have to run to this because of Hashem's